Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Easter Monday morning to you. I cannot believe Lent is over. I don't think I would be excited for Lent to be over because if you know me, you know that I love Lent. I am like this really Catholic nerdy girl who loves Lent, but I am excited for the Easter season to begin. And I'm going to just kind of, today we're going to do a recap of Holy Week and Easter and just get prepared for the next Easter, for the Easter season, which lasts 50 days. If you're somebody who follows my regular programming and you're thinking, hey, it's the fourth Monday, you're supposed to have a guest. Where is she? That would be Christina Trinidad. And I had to kind of be a meanie today and put her on hold. She was coughing. She doesn't feel good. And even though she was willing to troop her on because she's just awesome like that, I thought perhaps our ears might find that little to listen to. Because I said, how often are you coughing? She goes, why does this sound like you're asking me about labor pains? So how close are your contractions? So in the end, I had to, like I said, be a real meanie. And unfortunately, Christina will not be able to join me this month, but we'll see her next month. I did say to her that I would share some of the really cool things that we were going to talk about today. We were going to share with you that her and Tiffany over at Life of a Catholic Librarian, Tiffany Walsh, and Christina, again, she's at Handmade, M-A-I-D, embroidery.com, have started a podcast. It is called Planned, Not Scripted. Such a great idea. I love this. I love that the two of them are coming together. They're friends. They have such a heart for faith and for family and for just sharing their everyday life with God within it. And I love that they're going to be together talking. So the first one is out. You can go to either Life of a Catholic Librarian or HandmadeEmbroidery.com, or you could do what I did. Want to hear it? I just Googled Planned Not Scripted podcast, and it came right up, which was kind of cool. So go and check that out. Also on Christina's blog is, and I just sent her a message asking her if she was going to continue to do this, and yep, she is. Good. I just got a message back that she has started a blog link up. Now, what does that mean? It means that if you blog, you can take your link from your post and you can link it up or share it with others on a same topic. I do that every Wednesday with Worth Revisiting Wednesday over on ReconcileToYou.com. If you blog and you want to share something you've blogged before and you really loved but felt like not enough people saw it, you can just take that URL, you go to ReconcileToYou, find the Worth Revisiting link for the day. It's usually at the top on Wednesday anyway. You kind of scroll down and it says add your link. You click there and you just put your link in. I don't even ask that you mention on your blog you're doing that with me. Like some link ups are like, oh, you have to make sure you mention us and link to us. I just want to get the word out. So, you know, if you just want to put your link there, that's great. Oh, I just squirreled. Back to what I was actually talking about was Christina's. Oh, it's Monday, and I've had way too much food that I shouldn't have eaten. So my brain's a little fogged, a little Easter Monday fog, a little Easter bunny candy fog going on here. I did have for breakfast, it's Easter, right? This was okay to have cake for breakfast, a little, do you remember this cake when you were a kid? Did your mom make the cake, the vanilla cake, with the jello, the green jello, and the pudding frosting? I did that, but of course I made it gluten-free, sugar-free and dairy-free, and it was just as yummy. Not gonna lie, it was good stuff. Anyway, Christina Trinidad, HomemadeEmbroidery.com. She does a lovely tidbits link up, and I believe it's on Wednesday as well, or maybe it's Thursday. Might be Thursday. Either way, I'll ask her. what day she does that. But she and I have been talking about bullet journaling. She's got me totally addicted to this bullet journal. If you're wondering what on earth that is, it is just like your to-do list, but yet in a format that you can, one, keep track of, two, organize. You number the pages, which is like ridiculously brilliant. Yeah, I don't understand why I never thought of this before. So you have a journal, you number the pages, you have an index so you know where to find your stuff. And then each day, that's how I do it anyway, each day I go to it and I just kind of put my to-dos, my thoughts. I do blog stuff there, book stuff there. I'm like, you know, it was Wednesday. Okay, so she and I both have link-ups on Wednesday, so it could depend on what you feel like doing. You can actually do both, quite honestly. You can go over to Lovely Tidbits over on handmadeembroidery.com on Wednesday and share your bullet journal thoughts, and then perhaps take one of your old, any of your old blog links. It takes no new writing, which is what I love. I say it's like a day off with pay. I tease. It says a day off with pay. And then click over onto reconciledtoyou.com and share your blog post there. I used to hate blogging. I used to hate the word blogging. I even actually said to a friend one day, I would never blog. And now I do it every day. It's amazing what you think you'll never do. And when it's something that the Lord calls you to do, you do. And I say the Lord calls me to do it because what I talk about is everything to do with the faith. So honestly, one of the things I discovered during this Lent is, and I've talked about it for years, but I guess this year it just really sunk into my heart that life is your everyday moments with God. God isn't just Sundays. God just isn't prayer. God isn't just your 911 emergency phone to heaven. God is the everyday. And one of the things that happened last week is my guest, I think it might have been Diana Kennedy from thekennedyadventures.com. She was here and she said, you know, she kind of felt like she failed at Lent. Sarah Reinhart said that earlier in the month. I fail at Lent every year. I don't know why I try it. And then she went on to kind of like share her heart and some of the things going on in her life during this week, during this month, I mean, in this Lent. And out of my mouth comes, sometimes life is Lent. And I feel like that's what I've learned this time, you know, that life is Lent. Life is faith. Life is every day. God is in our everyday moments, in our everyday comings and goings. He's in the books we read and the TV we watch and the conversations we have and the fights we may have as well. It is in our sickness and our health. It is in our what we decide to wear every day and how our hair comes out. Some days if I have something really important to go to, I'll pray and I'll say, Lord, make me as pretty as you need me to be today. And sometimes him and I agree on how pretty that should be. In other days, not so much. I'm like, really? You couldn't make my hair curl just one time? So I guess today is going to be just, I promise not to be too squirrely, not to be too wandering, but I just want to talk about Holy Week and Easter. And I'm sad that Christina Trinidad's not able to join us today, but I trust that God always has a plan and a purpose, and he will bring good for those who love him, Romans 8:28. And gosh knows, God knows I love him. So I'm just looking forward to just chatting with you today. And since I don't have Christina, if you would like to join in the conversation, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4. I know I left a hanging thought just a few minutes ago, and I have no idea what it was. So if you even remember my hanging thought and you want to help me complete it, 573-4-BREAD-4, you can text or you can call in. Or, of course, you are always welcome to a Seeking Heart with Allison Jingras Facebook page, which I always check during the breaks. You can message me there or put something on the actual page and I will see it and we can discuss it during today's special show of just welcoming back after Holy Week and diving into the Easter season. The rest of this week, tomorrow, I will be playing the encore presentation. I could tell you what it was, but I haven't decided yet. I think I'd written something down that I wanted to play. I think it might have been Robin Davis, who who did that great book about cooking. It was nothing to do. She just likes to cook, but really it had to do with her life and her. But anyway, I can't remember if it was back when we were Real Life Radio or if it was when we were Breadbox. So anyway, be surprised by tomorrow's encore presentation. And then Wednesday, we pick up with Blessed Are the Stressed. And us will be author Sister Mary Leah Hill. She's known as the Crabby Mystic, which I have to tell you, I got to be really honest. I was typing really quick and luckily I caught it before she was here because in my show notes, I wrote the crappy mystic, not the crabby mystic. And she's certainly not crappy. She's awesome. She's so funny and delightful. And I know that you will enjoy our conversation about her new book, Blessed Are the Stressed, out from Pauline Books and Daughters of St. Paul. She is a daughter of St. Paul. I've had the pleasure of meeting her in person when she was stationed in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts, but now she has gone off to another location, which I'm sure we'll find out on Friday what that is. So Blessed Are the Stressed, new book, going to have a really fun conversation with this, I can tell, Wednesday and Thursday. And then Sister Mary Leah Hill will be here. Leah. I don't know. I should ask. I'll have to make sure I get that one. Look at like a simple name like Leah. I'm Leah. I think it's like Princess Leia. We're going to go with that for now. Yeah, you've met her, Allison, but you don't remember her name. You need help, girl. Please stay tuned for more about Holy Week and Easter here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Today, we're talking about Holy Week and Easter, kind of recapping what went on the last week. And I think I'd be remiss not to mention today that on Easter, the world lost an amazing evangelist, and with Mother Angelica passing away, the founder of EWTN. We know that we've gained a great intercessor in Mother Angelica. I believe that we will see her canonized in our lifetime. I am pretty sure of that, that she's definitely a saint. And now we can be praying to for intercession. I think for anybody that's in evangelization and needy us, me, specifically me, talking all about me, I am grateful to have her her ear now and ask her for her help and her guidance and what we do here at Breadbox Media and what I do for ReconciledToYou.com. And just to know that anything truly is possible with God and that she proved that time and time again, his providence. You know, if you've not read her wonderful biography from Raymond Arroyo, I recommend it highly, highly. Just such an amazing book, just so encouraging. Whatever the Lord's called you to do, that to know that if he is with you, no one can be against you, and that he will provide in what he's asked you to do in the most amazing and miraculous ways. You know, there's one story she tells where I think it was like, I want to say $300,000 or something ridiculous, like some crazy outrageous amount of money that she needed to get her station up on the air. And you know, the bill collector was there or calling and looking for the money. And she, and one of the sisters is like, Mother, what do we do? And she's like, just trust in the Lord. He will provide. And someone came to the door with a check for just the amount of money that they needed. And I've seen that in my own life in just really small ways. You know, when adopting faith from China, there were so many times where I thought, okay, well, that's the end of the road because we need this amount of money and we don't have it and it's just not going to happen. And then I would be surprised, like for somebody showing up at adoration while I was there praying, literally on my knees, face on the ground, before the monstrance, like really close to the altar. The monstrance is that gold thing, that beautiful gold thing that we put in the middle of it, the Eucharist. We put Jesus and the host in the middle, and we call that a monstrance. My kids used to call it the monster. It's the monstrance. And there I would, you know, on my knees with my face down on the ground, just praying for the Lord. And I just feel there's something, you know, being put into my hands. And by the time I kind of caught my, you know, my eyes back to the light and looked, somebody was just kind of walking out the side door, and they had put money in my hand. It wasn't $300,000. It certainly was helpful in what we needed to do that week. Option. Of course, it's kind of easy then to go the next week and put your head down and start praying like God's a God's the lottery or a slot machine, and pull the switch on the prayer, and then money disappears. It doesn't happen like that. But I have seen again and again, when we have needed it, the Lord has provided, and what we need, not what I want. Like, I don't have a brand new shiny car in the driveway, but I have a roof over my head, I have food, I have clothing, and the Lord has provided also in giving us treats too. Like, it's not like he's just like, oh, just your bare necessities, I'm not going to give you anything pleasurable. No, we certainly have plenty of other things that the Lord provides in that I just thought we'd never have money for. I never thought we'd have a house. And we were able to rent to own our home. We were just really young people, like before we started our family in our 20s. God provided this amazing opportunity to rent to own this house. And this house has provided us in the equity that we've needed in times that I couldn't work, or you know, my son was born prematurely and I wanted to stay home with him. And if you've been listening, and you know that I'm terrible at money. If you've been reading my Monday morning, my Money Monday blog post over on reconciledtoyou.com, you know that I'm learning to be better with money, thanks to John and Evelyn Bean and Compass Catholic Ministries. But in that, the Lord is blessed my mistakes and not always held me completely accountable for being just not good with money, just really looking at my heart and knowing that most of my money mistakes have come from places of love and of like just trying to help my kids or be a good mom or be a good wife, or but not always being a good steward. But I'm learning that now, and I'm excited to see what the Lord's going to do next. And again, we're just grateful that the Lord gave us Mother Angelica in our lifetime, that we have EWTN and her model of evangelizing through the media, that Breadbox Media can certainly attest to being able to reach people where they are and how they, in their homes and in their cars, in their ears, at work, beyond the walls of our churches, beyond the walls of our even our homes or even our communities, and reach out. So, eternal rest grant unto her, Mother Angelica, dear Lord. The perpetual light shine upon her, and may she rest in peace. Amen. So how was your Holy Week, and how was your Easter? I hope it was filled with many blessings. If you want to share it, 573-4-BREAD-4, 573-4-BREAD-4, or you can always leave me a message over on a Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras Facebook page, and I will check it. That number, too, 573-4-BREAD-4, is a text messaging receiving number as well. So if you'd prefer to text in your questions or comments, you can do that as well. And I'll read them over the air for you. So Thursday, we did the 7 visits, which I talked about on the show on Friday. Oh, no, I did not. I did not talk about this yet. Just in my little head, I just realized the last live show I did was Thursday morning. Good Friday, we took the day off to spend in prayer. I had to attend a funeral, and then I went to a 12 o'clock reflections at my church. So I did not talk to you about the 7 visits, what that is. Is at the end of Holy Thursday Mass, we take Jesus out of the tabernacle, all the consecrated hosts that we keep for Friday, for Good Friday, because that day we do not celebrate the liturgy of the Eucharist. We do not consecrate any hosts on that day. Well, I don't ever, but the priests don't consecrate hosts on that day. So we put them on what's called the altar of repose in this little repository, little box. And then it stays there for adoration, usually till 10 or 11 o'clock. Sometimes it's later that evening. Our church does something called the seven visits, which basically means that we visit seven altar of reposes in seven different churches. And this year, my friend joined me, and I love her to pieces. And I think that my excitement, like, you know, I feel like sometimes I'm such a kid. I'm a teenager at heart. Like, my excitement of having her with us this year, I felt like at the end I wasn't maybe as... I was respectful. I'm always respectful to the host and to my faith, but maybe not as introspective as I could have been, or there's a word. There's always a word just outside the reach of my brain. But we did, like, it was beautiful, and I took pictures. If you go onto Instagram at Reconcile to You, you'll see the pictures of the seven churches. I posted those today, the seven altars of repose, actually. And I felt reverent. That's the word. I actually wrote the word down. I just didn't look at my notes. Reverent. I felt like I wasn't as reverent as I usually am going from church to church. We were having way too much fun. But I guess the Lord also wants us to have fun. Maybe not on Holy Thursday. Not as we're talking about the suffering of him in the garden, perhaps. Probably not my best timing for that. See how human I am? People, like, always think I have it so figured out. Oh, you're in ministry and you're so faithful and you have it so figured out. Yeah, no, I don't. No, I don't. As Jesus said, actually, in that very scene of being at the in the garden, he says to the apostles who are with him, the flesh is the will is willing, or the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And that's how I am often with my faith. I know what I need to do. I know what I want to do. My spirit is so willing, but my flesh is so... There are times that I fail. I feel like that's why I put up that graphic. If you go to Reconcile to You on Facebook, you'll find it, or even on Instagram. I made a graphic on night that said, you have not failed Lent. Sometimes life is Lent. Sometimes life is life is always our struggle of faith. There's some days we get it and there's some days we don't. It doesn't mean that we're not faithful people. It doesn't mean we fail at being faithful people. It just means that we're human. I don't really like that quality about myself. I don't want to be human. I don't want to be a dog or anything, but I really struggle at being human and the failings that come with that, and the faults and the mistakes. And I want myself to be perfect all the time. And that just isn't happening. It's never going to happen this side of heaven. I'm never going to be perfect. I'm never going to figure it all out. But I love one of the things that Mother Angelica used to say is, all right, so you messed up that minute. Well, that's a good thing about God, is that here's another moment that he gives you. So from moment to moment is a new chance for a second chance, that God doesn't hold our moments against us indefinitely if we come to him with a sorrowful heart, a contrite heart, and say, Lord, I messed up. And he says, yeah, no, I saw it, but here's another moment to give it another shot. We have a lot more moments coming up here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. I hope you'll stay tuned for them.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. We are filling up time today because my guest, Christina Trinidad, was under the weather. She can be found over on Handmade Embroidery, handmadeembroidery.com. She'll be back next month, the fourth Monday of the month. She joins me. We talk about all kinds of stuff. today we were going to talk about bullet journaling. She has a great link up over on her website, Handmade Embroidery, called Lovely Tidbits. It's out on Wednesdays, and I am just so addicted to this bullet journal. It's been, honestly, it saved me so much time, because I'm the person who writes a list and then rewrites the list the next day and rewrites it again, or I lose it. But this little journal with all the little, I can use different colors to keep me focused and migrate stuff, and oh, I love it. So anyway, Lovely Tidbits on handmadeembroidery.com. We pray for Christina to feel better really soon. You can also check out her new podcast that she's doing along with Life of a Catholic Librarian, Tiffany Walsh, called Planned Not Scripted. I know they have one episode out. Tiffany's also doing Tea Time with Tiffany. It's like a vlog that you might enjoy watching and listening to as well. So my Holy Week was good. It was holy, except for that little bit of little irreverence going from place to place on the seven visits. But when I was there, I was very reverent. And I just love that time with God. Something very special to do on Thursdays. Friday, we have the veneration of the cross, and we are blessed to have a relic of the true cross. And the miracle that happened around this piece of wood do kind of let people know, hey, I'm a special piece of wood, was a deaf person getting back their hearing. So I have to be honest, every Good Friday that we have been at this church, that we've had Faithy, my daughter, who is deaf, with us, we have kind of watched her go up and venerate the cross and go back to her seat and kind of watched her and said, okay, did you get that miracle? Like, did you get back your hearing? And she doesn't, because that's not the Lord's plan for her. There is something very special about her and that, and the deafness that she is been born with, that the Lord has allowed her to have, that he will use for his glory in some way or another. So she did not get back her hearing, but she was so amazing this Holy Week. Just watching her grow up, I think everybody has this experience with their children where they're little and you're struggling to have them pay attention in Mass, and you feel like you're wrestling an octopus, like trying to, what's it saying about trying to put nylons on an octopus? It's kind of like trying to keep your kids, you know, under wraps sometimes during church, under wraps, but kind of focused and in the pew. Sometimes you really just feel like, oh, these days are never going to end. And then they just slowly get it. You know, they just start to pay attention and understand. Like, she totally gets it. When we, you know, transition from Liturgy of the Word to the Liturgy of the Eucharist, which means from the readings and the homily and the prayers into when we then bring up the gifts of bread and wine, and we begin the consecration, and we see, you know, these transform before our eyes from bread and water to the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. That moment, she's getting that. She said to me, you know, during the Easter one, especially during Easter Mass, she's like, this is the time now. We're going to change, you know, the priest is going to change this is into Jesus's body and blood. And I was like, yes, yes, that's exactly what's going to happen. And just to celebrate that as a church, you know, our music was beautiful this year, as always. My friend JR does an amazing job with our choir. Just to sing his praises and come together as a church family. I was a little disappointed with the turnout in Mass, the two holy days, the Thursday. Well, they're not holy days of obligations, but Thursday and Friday, I felt like the church was definitely less filled than previous years, but our hearts were no less filled. They were definitely overflowing with love and joy for the season. So there was no failing. And then, of course, Easter, it always goes by so fast. Like, so, you know, we do these wonderful church things. And then I prepared the meal this year, my poor family. We did very simple. We did a ham, mashed potatoes, carrots with honey all over them, because that's just yummy. And then my sister-in-laws both brought side dishes. And it felt like they showed up at 12:30, my mother-in-law and Kevin's brothers and their families. And by 5, it's done. It's like, oh, like, I remember, I felt like as a kid, like those holiday celebrations lasted forever. Do you remember that? Maybe it's because you were not busy. Like you got to just play with your cousins or hang out in or color. I remember bringing things to do, my dolls, my Barbies, and just felt like the days went on forever. But as an adult, they feel like they go by so fast. And, you know, the only part of our celebration I felt that was even remotely related to Christ was our prayer. It's so difficult to bring faith into a family celebration when you're really the only people who are celebrating it from a faith perspective. Maybe you have a way that you've handled that. I'd love to hear if you're the only one really practicing your faith, how do you bring that in? And if you're somebody who is really on this journey to figure out about the faith, do we really think it makes a difference? Like, it does it mean a failure to us if our families got together, that we've celebrated each other, you know, celebrated Easter and then left the day without ever really saying, hey, Jesus died and rose for us. Did I miss the boat? Or is it just meeting them, my family, where they're at? And I've really found over the years that it's really hard, especially in a family who knows you, who's seen you be a different person, who's seen you still be a different person, to now be that prophet. And as Jesus says, it's difficult for you to be a prophet in your own backyard. So do we need to be prophesizing or sharing the faith with words? Or is it just a matter of living it? Like just, I definitely shared a little bit with my family about, you know, what we did during Holy Week. Could I have shared more? Absolutely. Could I have shared more? Yes. I guess there's no way around for me to say that. Yep, I could have shared more. But I didn't. And I guess a part of me, too, is blessed that my job has to do with faith. So, you know, I was able to share a little bit of what I do, you know, talking about my work, and hopefully that will touch their hearts. I think part of my Easter Monday morning reflection has been on, do I do enough? Do I do enough to invite people into the faith? And you might say, well, you do a daily radio show and you give talks, but that's not... That's not always doing, that's not a personal invitation. Like, am I personally reaching out to people and saying, hey, do you know Jesus? Do you know how much he loves you? Do you know how much God loves you to give us his only son to die for our sins so that we may have a chance at heaven? Do I really say those things to the people I need to say them to? No, something to reflect upon. It's not always easy. It's definitely not always easy because I remember one holiday we were at the table just talking about the kids and all the different jobs that they do and the things that they do. And at one point they were all working at stores, and the teenage boys were all working at stores. And he's like, if you need this, you go to that store. You can go see, you know, Ian here or Sean there. And you're just kind of laughing. And I went to add to the conversation. And my sister-in-law, who I love dearly, and I don't think she meant to hurt my feelings the way that it did. It was just kind of stopped me in my tracks. But her hand went up. Her palm went right to my face, like, speak to the hand. And she said, I don't want what you're selling. And I thought, ouch, wow. You know, how many times have my family not spoken to me or avoided conversation with me because they think I'm going to try to sell them something of the faith? When I don't want to sell anything, I want to share. I have to think, too, sometimes that when we come up against people not wanting to hear about the faith, not wanting to hear about Christ, not wanting to be open to what God has to say to them through you, is because we are touching on a nerve that is raw or they've buried. People don't like to be told they're doing things wrong, and people don't like to be told to change. And I think from my own personal experience, my struggle to become a more devout Catholic, to somebody who really lived my life for Christ, to be a Christian, was my fear of what God was going to ask me to give up. I think maybe that's what we'll pick up on the other end of these messages. What are our fears that keep us from growing in faith? What are we afraid that the Lord is asking us to give up or change to be a closer follower of Him? I know there were several things on my mind when he came a-calling in 2005. Gosh, I can't believe that was 11 years ago, that he really touched my heart in a way that I had to look past those fears. But how do we get past those fears? We're going to pick up with that conversation on the other end of these messages. You are listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Hearing things in my head now. I'm hearing music that doesn't exist. You probably didn't even hear that because it was before the music came on, but I was already introing the show. I didn't get too far in case you're wondering, what did I miss? Nothing, just me giggling at myself. What a shock. We have been talking today about Holy Week, and then the Holy Spirit just brought me down a different path, and we started to talk about evangelizing or sharing the faith, is a better word of saying it, with our family and our friends, and how it can be so difficult to really be a faithful person. Like, I grew up in a time where you did not talk about politics, you did not talk about money, and you did not talk about religion. Those things just were not talked about. They were private. They were personal. You kept them to yourself, which explains a whole lot about me. It explains why I stink at money, because my parents did not talk to me about it. I still don't talk about politics. I think it's too difficult to talk about politics. I got to be honest. I think they need to be talked about. I just don't enjoy confrontation, so they're not good for me to talk about. Because there's generally nobody's going to agree with me. But religion, I'm sad that one got put in that place. Like, I don't think you need to be talking about how much money you make or sharing that with people. But we do need to be talking about being good stewards of money. We do need to be teaching our young people how to care for what God has given them. But then to take religion and put it in that same category as politics makes me sad, because I don't talk about my faith trying to convince people to change. That's not for me to do. That's for God to do. Like, I'm not here to change minds. I'm here to give you information. I'm here to share my heart with you, because God has done such incredible things for me that I feel like it would be wrong for me to keep it to myself. I feel like it would be just selfish to allow God to give me mystical, beautiful, blessed experiences and not share them. I know we're going to talk about what fears kept me from changing, and I have it written down so I won't forget, but I want to just share something really quickly. On Fridays, I go and visit my aunt. She is 91. She is my godmother, definitely one of my seed planters of faith. This is like just always growing up knowing that she loved the Lord. She had in her home, and she still does, an altar set up with candles and statues and pictures. I love it. My great-grandmother started it, and my godmother kept it going. So she's my grandfather's sister. She is so spunky. I love that I get to spend Fridays with her, just an hour sometimes, an hour and a half. But I've gone my whole life really only seeing her on holidays or special occasions. And that's so sad, because she literally lives 5 minutes away from me. 5 minutes. And we share this beautiful faith together. And we've just never had an opportunity to come together and spend time. So I'm so grateful that God gave me this time. And we're going to be talking about the spiritual works of mercy in an upcoming show. And I just want to keep that in mind, that if you know somebody who's homebound, you will be blessed immeasurably by going and spending time with them. Okay, back to my squirreled moment. I was like already squirreling. Don't squirrel from the squirrel moment. So one of the things we were talking about on Friday was just some of this incredible stuff that happens in my everyday life. For instance, I posted that thing about on Thursday about not fail Lent, that picture that said, you know, you can't fail at Lent because sometimes life is Lent. Basically, you know, sometimes we choose our Lenten sacrifices and sometimes life chooses them for us. And as soon as I posted it and it started to go, for me, viral, we're talking like there was like 88 to 100 shares, I guess, on it, which was really cool. I thought that was super cool. And it was like popping up everywhere. I thought that was so neat. I mean, it's not viral in the case of like normal things that go 100,000 million views, but I was pretty excited about it. My site crashed. So I call up the net firms, just really prepared for the worst. You know, like usually I have people that are just, they're short with me. I don't understand what they're asking me to do. We're not on the same page. It's very frustrating. And I get this young man from out in Arizona whose name is Angel. No, true story. His name was Angel. He was patient. He was kind. He was all of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 13. He was like just wonderful. He was working very diligently, and then he's like, so how is your day going? And I said, oh, other than posting my very first almost viral thing and having my site crash, just fabulous. Like I had just gone to confession the day before. So this must have been Wednesday this happened. I had just gone to confession, so I was trying really hard not to swear, just trying to keep myself together. And he was so interested. He's like, well, what did you share? So, well, to be honest, it's a Catholic thing. I don't know if you're Catholic, but it was a Catholic graphic I put up. And he said, I am Catholic. So we had this wonderful conversation about what I put up. He said, did you put it on Instagram? That's a great place to share. I said, oh, but actually, I did put it on Instagram. So he went over. I noticed that he liked it on Instagram. How cool was that? And I felt like truly the Lord has sent me an angel. He goes, I get that a lot. So, well, I'm trying not to be corny, but hello, this is kind of ridiculously cool. Like, here I am trying to do something that we know is going to bless the Lord. It's going to glorify him. Of course, it's going to get the attention of the evil one, who's not going to want it to be seen by people or shared. It's definitely not going to want it to bless the ministry by people coming back and checking out reconciledtoyou.com. But yet the Lord sent me an angel. And so I'm telling my aunt this story, along with a couple of other things that had happened to me in the last couple of weeks. And she goes, come here. I'm like, okay. So I come over and she just touches me. She's like, I just need to touch you because I want some of your holiness. I said, well, I'm definitely not holy enough to be a relic to be touched. However, I do think it was very sweet that she could see that our faith is mystical and that God does amazing, incredible things in our everyday lives that we just need to be open to recognize that they're being done. But in 2005, when the Lord asked me, you know, through other people to come to get to know him better, to come to Bible study, to start to read scripture, to look at the Mass, which I was attending, but to look at it with fresh eyes and to start to see what was actually happening there and not just a to-do checkoff that, you know, hopefully would keep me out of hell, but that God had much, 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 much more for me than just checking off a box to perfect attendance for Mass, towards my heaven goal, that he wanted to be a friend, a father, a confidant, a guide. He wanted to be my everything. But I was afraid. I didn't know what I'd have to give up. In the end, I did have to give up quite a few things, but you know what? He's blessed me with new things. For instance, one of the things I was really worried about giving up was gossip. I liked gossip. I felt like it gave me something to talk about. I felt like it made me funny because of the way I could present it. And it made me popular. And I liked all of those things at the time my kids were still in school. Within 3 years of saying yes to God, my kids were homeschooled. I no longer gossiped. And I lost a lot of friends. But I gained more friends. Friends I could trust. Friends who would teach me how to be trustworthy. My children being homeschooled was an incredible blessing. They might not think so. I think they still wish I had kept them in school, but it was what was best for them. There's no right or wrong when it comes to how to school your children. It truly is a personal decision that you need to bring up with God. But for me, the God put on my heart to call them home. And for my oldest, who was dealing with depression and suicidal thoughts as a 9-year-old, I'm sure, without a doubt, it was the right thing to do for him. But in that time that God was asking me to get closer to him and me looking at all the things in my life that I needed to give up, it was scary. I was afraid. And I put up a lot of face palms to people who were trying to reach out to me with faith. Like, I don't want what you're selling. Like, speak to the hand. I'm all set. But the Lord, it was not an overnight. It was a little by little. Like, as he reveals himself in little bits, he also reveals himself personally to us in little bits. And he only called me to do what I was able to do at that moment and not more. He never gives me a task that's beyond my strength, never calls me to do something that I'm not capable of doing. He's patient. He is kind. He is loving. And the transformation, the reversion from a person who mildly, lukewarmly loved God and used it as a safety net to somebody who is truly head over heels in love with the true God, and I do believe he is there, was a slow but beautiful process. And I am so grateful that you come and join me here on A Seeking Heart so that we can have this journey together. It's continual, by the way. It wasn't over in 2005. Here it is, 2016, and it's still a day-to-day journey with God to get closer. And Easter season is just upon us to go even deeper into that faith. And I'm so excited again to have you with me. Please join me again on Wednesday morning for Blessed Are the Stressed. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Bedbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.